proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful to be born in this time, in this generation, in the world today. Because hindsight, we can see that we have the full picture of how everything began, how life developed, how God worked his plan of salvation and redemption, how it was carried out faithfully by his precious, obedient Son, our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, and how each and every one of the individuals that we read about in the Bible carried out very important missions, very important work, so that you and I, in this generation, could have access to God's Word, to God's truth, to the background of how the human race came to be, and everything pertaining to life. And so we are thankful, even though we have many challenges. But every generation has always been challenged in one way or another. Nobody gets a free ride. By that I mean that they just get smooth sailing in life. There are very important things to accomplish, and each one of those is a tremendous challenge. So I thank you for joining us in this topic that without a doubt, we in this generation must understand, must handle properly, and if it's going to contribute to the quality of our life, how we must handle modern technology, because as we all know, it has a tremendous potential for destruction. And so we're going to be dealing with how modern technology is destroying our good behavior. This is part number one, and I'm Nena Arias. It is totally undeniable how the internet, smartphones, and social media have taken over our lives and have changed our behavior in many ways. People of all ages are more into their phones than into interaction with other people. Even in the same table where people are sharing a meal, where it should be a time of conversation, of interaction with the other individuals at the table, many times several of them are on their phones and not really even paying attention to the conversation. The obsession is more than obvious. Everywhere you go, most people are on their phones and feel totally lost if they happen to leave their phone at home. The breakdown in personal communication gets more and more evident. Even in the same household, in the same room, people are texting each other rather than conversing. Where is all this taking us? Are we driving ourselves toward a widespread mental health crisis and lost identity? All this modern technology has that potential, you know that. Are we driving ourselves toward a widespread mental health crisis? Is the increase in crime and suicides any indication of how sick people have become on the inside since we became isolated in our own little world that we are creating if we're not careful? Something that can make people more communicative is having the opposite effect. Why is this happening? And what will be the end result? I know for one, my use of social media and texting and emailing has made me more communicative with the people in my life, because before that, I was not a good correspondence person. I did not like to write letters. It was an imposition. I just did not. But now with texts and emails and phone calls so readily and easily available, I am more in contact, like I said, with the people in my world. But for other people, it has been just the opposite effect. Instead of being closer to their loved ones, communicating with them, it has pulled them apart and has built a wall of isolation. So this is one thing that we must pay attention to, because modern technology is destroying our good behavior, our good relationships, our ability to take personal responsibility for our actions, for what we say. And this is something to pay attention to. In life, if we only use ourselves to consult with about the important things, we will most likely end up wrong, because we don't have enough knowledge, we don't have enough insight or life experience to look at a situation from the past, present, and future and know exactly what to do. Which is why we need the one that knows the past, knows the present, and knows the future to lead us, to guide us with his all-seeing eye and his omniscience. He is all-knowing, and he is all-powerful, and he is very present everywhere at the same time. Now, we know we all need guidance, even if we just use ourselves to consult with our mind, the thoughts, the ideas that we have accumulated there. We consult that and guide ourselves by the information that we have stored. Now, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to counsel." End of quote. You are foolish if you only depend on yourself to know what is right. If you have not properly instructed your mind in the knowledge and the truth of God. And it says that a wise man listens to counsel. Well, first of all, the most important counsel is God's word. So we can have a filter to know when we hear the advice of somebody else, if it is right or if it is wrong, if it is something that is worthy of implementation. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." End of quote. For the most part, human beings make decisions, look at perspectives, at panoramas, at issues in life through their emotions. Am I right? Depending on how things make people feel, That is the way they make their decisions. But we must live wisely and not fall into the same pit over and over and over again. It is wise to always assess the result of an action to see if it was the right one. Take inventory and see if it worked out the way you wanted it to work out. The book of Romans puts it this way. In Romans chapter 6, verse 21, it says, "What fruit did you reap at that time with the things of which you are now ashamed? The outcome of those things is death." End of quote. We must ask ourselves, is the outcome of an action something that I want to repeat, or am I sorry that I went down that road? Am I ashamed that I made the wrong decision? Let's be honest with ourselves, first of all. Let's be honest with God, and then we will be able to be honest with everyone else. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12 says, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness." End of quote. How do we interpret this? Well, I see it that if we only use what our generation is presenting as truth in their own eyes, yet the result is not purity, it's filthiness, then that is a road we do not want to go down. So we have to be very careful who we are comparing ourselves to, who we are listening to live our life and make wise decisions. In today's world, the idea that God has a problem with people doing what seems right may sound a little absurd, because it is thought that free thinking is the way to go. Be a free thinker. Well, that sounds very liberating, perhaps, very fancy, very modern. But what is meant by being a free thinker? Usually, it means endeavoring to free one's self from the standard that God has established for right living. People want to be free of God. Those who do not value Him, those who do not love Him, those who do not want to believe in Him, they say, be a free thinker. Well, if you think about it, are you just going to grab any idea that's floating around and let it float around in your mind and produce according to whatever inspiration that had? What are you freeing yourself from when you say, I'm a free thinker? Again, whether they want to admit it or not, they're pulling away from God and the life standards that He has established. No doubt, all technology has its pros and its cons and can offer us many conveniences. Just think about it. How would our life be without cars to transport us? It would be very difficult. Or what about airplanes? When we can be here in the morning and just a few hours across the globe. Home appliances. How do home appliances impact our lives? I know for one, we women don't have to go out to the river and pound our clothes on the rocks to wash, and takes us hours and hours and hours, and then we come home and hang them on a line and wait hours and hours and hours for them to dry. Our home appliances are very convenient. What can we say about microwaves? Our electronic gadgets and mass food production. Many of us do not know how to live off the land, so we depend on mass food production to eat. What about modern medicine? Are you grateful for some modern medicine? I say some because not all of it is good. But modern medicine contributes to a quality of life that we would not otherwise have. And a lot of modern medicine has saved our lives. And yes, what can we say even about smartphones? Smartphones have become part of our bodies. We have them in our pocket. We have them in our hand. We have them readily available everywhere we go. Often when I travel in my comfortable car on great roads, smooth roads, at a high speed, with music playing in the background and air conditioning, or on a plane, I look out the window and I see the marvel of being able to fly in planes. I think, what would the pioneers who traveled across this country on horseback, on covered wagons, or on foot, what would they think of our way of life? I'll tell you one thing, they would be blown away. The speed, the convenience we have on almost anything would no doubt blow their minds. And to think those primitive ways were only used approximately 136 years ago, because on January 29, 1886, Carl Benz applied for a patent for his vehicle powered by a gas engine. And this may be regarded as the birth certificate of the automobile. 1886. Think about it. Why didn't previous generations in different millennia come up with these inventions? No doubt modern technology has impacted our lives in many ways. But even though we are more comfortable with the amenities and conveniences that we have, it is undeniable that we are falling apart in other areas that are of greater importance for our survival. And this is where we need to focus. How do we use modern technology but do not allow it to destroy our lives or to take away from the quality of life that we have? This means that we have to be ever so vigilant. We are more comfortable, but perhaps on the brink of a spiritual and generalized mental health crisis like never before. Have you seen the evidence around us? And nowhere is it more evident than in our young people, and I mean young people, when it is not uncommon to see children as young as 3, 4, 5, 6 year olds already with their electronic gadgets, watching movies and playing games incessantly. And I mean incessantly. Parents like the fact that these gadgets are great babysitters. They want to shun their responsibility of spending time with their children, taking advantage of every moment, of instructing them in life. They pass this on to the electronic gadgets, much like television for the previous generations. It's not uncommon that by the time they are 7 or 8 years old, kids are already carrying their cell phone. And these cell phones and all these modern technologies are rewiring their minds and exposing them to things way beyond their years. There are many, many dangers that we must be made aware of and not take these things lightly. Many children, as young as puberty and adolescence, are already hooked on pornography, and that's going to impact the rest of their lives and maybe even cut their life short by the destruction that is going to come upon them. Because they're feeding their mind, their spirit, their emotions with the wrong things through this modern technology. Young people spend time together on their phones, unchaperoned, hour after hour after hour. Unlike the teens of my generation, who might have spent perhaps an evening tying up the family landline with gossip, nowadays they talk on Snapchat for hours. The smartphone app that allows users to send pictures and videos that quickly disappear. They make sure to keep up their snap streaks, which show how many days in a row they have Snapchatted with each other. All this is monitored. And sometimes they have screenshots of particularly ridiculous pictures of their friends. And these pictures, more often than not, are used to either blackmail their friends or destroy their friends' reputation. They spend most of the time hanging out alone in their room with their phone. This has become their constant. That's just the way this generation is. And they have never known life without iPads or iPhones. Can you imagine that? They don't know what life was like without these gadgets. And most parents don't bother to cultivate good reading skills of good books and filter what their kids are being exposed to. Children, for the most part, find it difficult to excel in reading, in spelling, in writing, and with all these text messages abbreviated and written who knows how, they can't even write intelligibly. As a result, the kids' people skills are underdeveloped. And therefore, I think they like their phones sometimes more than they like actual people. It's easier to express yourself anonymously or in an indirect way. This is so dangerous, dear friends, because by the time parents find out, there are many things going wrong in the development of their kids, and it may be too late to correct them, and terrible things happen. How often are we hearing parents of a child who committed suicide say, "We never saw the signs. We never had any indication of how serious this situation was. Our son or our daughter kept it hidden from us." Well, as parents, we have to be very hands-on. It is not good for children to be isolated so long with so much technology and unsupervised. Generational differences are the characteristics that come to define a generation, and they appear gradually along a continuum. Beliefs and behaviors that were already rising in the previous generation simply continue to do so. For instance, millennials are a highly individualistic generation, but individualism had been increasing since the baby boomers generation, and by that I mean the generation that was born after World War II, approximately from 1946 to 1954. Patterns of trends that looked like modest hills and valleys just continued to grow into the convulsions of the 1960s. And the convulsions of the 1960s just continued to grow in the following decades. The decline we now see in the family, in education, in culture, and society unfolding big time, it started back then. And future generations did not pay attention. But the abrupt shifts in behavior of our young people erupted a decade ago, around 2012 approximately. And what is pointed out to indicate this? The behaviors and emotional states of our young people became more obvious. The behavioral slopes have now become steep mountains and sheer cliffs, and many of the distinctive good characteristics began to disappear around that time. I have never seen anything like it, nor did I ever think I would see it in my lifetime. How ill-educated, how ill-adjusted young people are in society, even interacting with each other, let alone interacting with older generations. Strange shifts show up in things like the allure of independence, so powerful to previous generations, they hold less grip now in today's teens. The shifts even shows that 20 and 30-year-olds still want to be totally dependent upon the parents to take care of them. And by that, I don't mean just to live in their home and yet begin to contribute to support and help with the expense of the household. That's okay. That's the way it used to be. Older children did not have to leave home, but they did have to mature. They had to become responsible. They had to contribute to the household, and that's okay. What I'm referring to is that too many just want to continue to be fully provided for by the parents, and they become career students at the expense of the parents and not accept any personal responsibility of the load in many ways. They just use the parents' household as a hotel, and the parents allow it. Dear friends, what is becoming of our world? What is becoming of our world? A series of national surveys showed the trends persist as the years are progressing. The changes aren't just in degree, but in kind. Completely different trends. The biggest difference between the millennials and their predecessors is in how they view the world. The worldview has shifted. Teens today differ from the millennials not just in their views, but in how they spend time. The experiences they have every day are radically different from those of the generation that came of age just a few years before them. It hasn't been that long, dear friends, and we have seen such great shifts, and we must pay attention. Things like this should not catch us by surprise. And this is the importance of listening to messages like this that will alert us to pay more attention of what is going on around us, in our family members, in their friends, in our neighborhoods, and in the people that we interact with. This is extremely important because destruction is coming up the pike. Thank you for joining us this time. We're going to continue with this topic, and we hope to see you again.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.